Hello, everybody. This is Joel Whitaker, the editor of Kane's Beverage News Daily. And today we're talking with Jeff Eakes, who's the new chief financial officer at Social House Vodka down in Raleigh, North Carolina. Good afternoon, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Beautiful fall afternoon here in Raleigh.
Great. Well, it's nice up here in the Washington, D.C. metro area, too, so sounds like we're both in almost seventh heaven. What I want to do, Jeff, is I want to let you start off by just telling us a little bit about your background, because you are the new CFO there. How did you, where did you come from, and what's your education, and how did you get the job?
Well, my education, I've got an accounting background from NC State, got my CPA license. After that, I won't say how long ago it was, because the exam was basically just a bank reconciliation, I think. It wasn't a lot to it. No, seriously, it was a long time ago. I went, did the public route, worked for a regional firm locally. Actually, I have a Greensboro, and came back to the Raleigh office, and then got an opportunity to join a fairly small software company in Cary called SAS Institute. It was going through a lot of growing pains, and not pain so much, it was all good. A great company, constantly recognized as one of the best companies to work for year after year. Have a great work-life balance, and the culture is just second to none. And I was there for, gosh, over 30 years. Started as one of the few CPAs on staff. I think it was myself and then CFO. And we've got maybe 80 people now in the finance department, all CPAs. They've been doing all the tax and financial reporting work.
Well, that's pretty impressive. So what led you to willingly give up a nice work-life balance to go to work for what is, relatively speaking, a new company?
It is very, very new. Well, the opportunity arose. They offered a retirement package for just a handful of us that qualified, and I just saw that as an indication of, you know, I've always wanted to do something different. Although I'm doing a lot of the same work, but it was a different industry. And I always wanted to learn more about the industry itself. So I met with Kerry Joshi, who's our CEO, and started a conversation with him about maybe coming in and kind of helping out on the finance side. And, you know, they were very young and needed some, I think, some more seasoned, to use a nice word for old, accountant. To come and maybe help them avoid paying some of the stupid tax, you know, as far as setting things up. Mm-hmm. So I did that for a couple of months after I retired. And again, I just wanted to try something new. I feel like I got a few years left in me, and this seemed like a perfect fit. So after a few months, 3 months of time, we just sat down and said, you know, I think I'd like to do this a little more full-time and in a committed fashion. So I came on board July 1, haven't looked back. It's funny, I told somebody the other day, it all really evens out. I'm working twice as much, but they pay me about half. So it really just all evens out. But I really do enjoy it. My wife even told me one day when I was leaving the house, she said, "You really seem to be enjoying yourself." And she knows me better than anybody. So I think that was a good indication.
Well, that's a really good thing, especially when she notices it. So that must mean that you really are having a lot of fun. And yeah. You know, after 30 years in a business, if you're not having fun, it starts to get real old real fast. Actually, it starts to get real old real fast after one day if you're not having fun. But,
yeah,
you know, 30
well,
years
I will
is...
tell you this. Well, 30 years at SAS is 30 years of heaven. We were not only in the bubble, we were in the bubble of the bubble. So very well insulated, just a great culture. But, again, I thought it was time for something new. And I still maintain relationships there, so I haven't cut ties.
Great. Well, that's wonderful. So tell us a little bit about Social House Vodka. How long has it been around? How did it get started? What do you know about the background of the company?
Well, it started, I think, back in 2016. The first full year of operation was last year in 2018. But it was more formulated and put on paper in 2016. They had some sales in 2017. But I had a good friend of mine who was very much involved. He was in my social circle, if you will, at the time. And he told me about the story. It's, you know, it's a craft distillery. It's locally sourced. It's a farm to flask approach. They're socially conscious. and they just had a real nice sound to them. And, you know, they use the social aspect as, you know, who's in your social house, who's in your group of social friends that you can sit down and have a cocktail with occasionally. And he's in my circle. And when he told me about it, and he gets excited, he's a sales guy. He gets excited about things, and you know, I learned more and more about it. We were on a fishing trip, and he was telling me, and I decided I went ahead and invested in it about 2 years ago, and just, you know, stayed back and offered assistance and when I could. And so when I decided to retire, that's when I, you know, made a move towards talking to Carrie and made that transition. But they started the founders, you know, the same concept. Who's in your circle, and thought it was a great idea. Kraft, anything Kraft had a nice ring to it, was easily accepted. And they had a went through a lot of painstaking time and effort to get the flavoring, I'll call it, or the taste down. They actually distilled over on the campus of NC State over at the food science department and did a lot of taste testing and really perfected, you know, vodka, let's be honest, flavorless, colorless, tasteless. But it is distinctive. Also, go ahead. I thought you were going to ask a question.
Nope.
It's locally sourced. This corn, there's a farmer. It's distilled in Kinston. That's where the major distillery is. There's an opportunity, a really good opportunity. That's why we opened up down there. Headquarters is in Raleigh. There's a local farm, I think it's third generation, that we buy the corn from. The production facility sits on the Black Creek Aquifer, which runs from Rocky Mount through Kinston, which is quite a distance. I don't know if it's 100 miles, but it's quite a distance. And we've been told that the geologists say it takes 10,000 years for that water to pass through that porous rock to get to us. So we've had it tested, and it's truly pure water. So we don't have to take water, take out all the, you know, stuff they put into it, clean out the chemicals. So it's just totally pure. And the fact that it goes, you know, literally from farm to flask is also, and it was another, to me, key differentiator for us.
Well, that's pretty cool. So where do you see the brand today? And by that, I'm asking you all the normal questions. How big is it? What sort of distribution do you have? I know you're in, I believe, all the ABC stores down in North Carolina. For people from Pennsylvania, ABC translates to state stores.
Right.
So tell us where you see the brand today and where you guys want to take it. Are you planning to do a major push for national distribution? Or are you going to sort of retain your focus in the Carolinas, or are you going to grow slowly? What's your plan?
The plan is to take over North Carolina first and foremost. We are the number one distilled vodka sold in North Carolina, and, you know, and distilled in North Carolina. And we did that, I think, after 5 months. We've had a very successful launch. We continue to outpace the smaller distilleries. I think because our focus is different, we want to move up the ladder, so to speak. So we are in most, I'm not sure we're in all of them, because there's a lot of remote ABC stores in North Carolina. As you can imagine, there's some places unlike Raleigh and Charlotte and Greensboro,
right,
Wilmington. So, you know, we have that information, and we're going after them. In fact, we've had some significant hires of late. Besides myself, we've hired a former CEO of the New Hanover ABC system. She's our VP of sales, and she is just, she knows everybody. Everybody knows her. She has tremendous reputation in the state and in the industry, and she's a difference maker. So we're going to be able to, I think, move up rapidly on that list. And again, our focus is to take over North Carolina, be the brand that people recognize in North Carolina. And if we feel we can be successful here, we can be successful anywhere because of the distribution system through the ABC state-controlled system.
Right. Well, certainly from what I've heard over the years, you know, companies that grow too fast get themselves in trouble real quickly. So it's really good to be to hear that you guys are intending to basically control North Carolina and then go out. I assume at some point you might go out from there, but that you're not trying to make your next sale out in Oregon, for instance, which I've seen companies do to their disadvantage.
That's right. And we've got an example locally that we've seen. And from afar, I admired them because they went into about, I think, 11 states right out of the chute. They're suffering right now. They're having some real issues because of that. You know, they're tied into these distributors who represent various brands. We have a direct sales force in place that only represents Social House. So we have the largest direct sales force in the state, covering all the territories. And we have a lot of good data. You know, I work for a software company, and obviously data is very important. So I think we're very data-driven, too. So we can look at these on-premise accounts, you know, the bars and restaurants, see what their sales have been, if they bought us, if they haven't, why they haven't, why they need to. And we can send somebody right in with that information. Also, if they've been
– Go ahead.
Well, and if they've been buying from us and they start to diminish, drop or stop, we can go right in there and have that conversation. So I love the fact that the company is very data-driven.
I was going to say, it sounds like you really are able to identify what you need to do next within North Carolina to become the big player down there and go forward.
Correct. Yeah, I believe that very much. And then the industry itself, you know, vodka is what, I think, over a third of the total market.
Right.
And craft spirits are outpacing, you know, I want to say 20% to up to 40% in 2022, I think, is the expectation, but we'll see that when that happens. But so the craft market right now is just a little over 2% of the overall market. So if we could just capture 2% of that current vodka market, we're talking about, you know, $100 million.
Sure.
So the market's here.
Sure. And that $100 million is nothing to sneeze at either.
No.
At all. Well, that's great. So how do you intend to capture that? What's your plan?
Well, first of all, we've got key people. We've got production where we're going to ramp up production to meet demand. Historically, we've produced, submitted, you know, shipped it to the main warehouse and, you know, just continue the process. Now we're trying to build up our inventory. So, for example, if we wanted to go to another state, they're going to want a 2,000-3,000 case order immediately. And we'll be able to fulfill that right out of inventory. That's one. Two, we have the direct sales force in place, and we have a lot of data that tells us where the hotspots are. And one thing a good buddy of mine told me along, this was 25 years ago, if you want to increase your business, your sales, you need to do it with your existing customers. New customers are great, but your growth is really going to be with your existing. So we know them. We've had some legislative changes that are make it a lot easier for us to do business in North Carolina. We can sell unlimited bottles directly from a distillery now. Last year it was, five, I think, and that was for the year. One person, that's all you could get. So we're opening up distribution channels. We're having more customer facing, so we can have, you know, they can try the product. If you've ever been through a distillery tour, you know, you get the little quarter ounce pour and, you know, it's nice, but now we can actually mix cocktails. That's also available. So there's just a lot more opportunity to get in front of customers and, again, open up distribution channels throughout the state.
Gee, those legal changes sound like they really will change the whole game down there.
It will. It really will. There's some thinking that it's, you know, moving towards privatization, but you know, I've been out of state. I'm sure, you know, you've seen other places where you can walk into a local grocery store and buy any kind of spirit you like. I don't know if we'll ever get there, but at least we'll have some good competition. And it's really geared towards small distilleries who can't make it in the current ABC system. They're just not making enough, and they just don't have the marketing dollars to make a change, but they can just open up their little place in the back. Well, not that it's got to be not like the old moonshiners, but they can, you know, they can stay viable in their own way and just sell directly without getting, I think I heard that there were over 300 brands or you could disqualify them, that's not the proper term, last year in North Carolina because they just weren't selling enough. So
wow.
Yep.
Yeah, so that so what that tells anybody who doesn't know is that the ABC systems, in fact, at least try to run like a business, and they want to see the volume to justify the space on the shelf. And with the explosion of new products in all sorts of categories, that shelf space has become more valuable and therefore more challenging to the producers.
Well put. Yep, exactly it.
Good. So. So you're going to increase the DSD operation, which means you're going to need a lot of people there, I assume. You got to set the world on fire sales gal running the sales
yep.
operation. And what that tells me is that you're going to need to hire some people. Am I right about that?
That's correct. And we've got, you know, we do have a new master distiller, too, that he's got a actually he's got a chemistry background, and he is a master distiller. And he's got a, I think, a software engineer as well. So the joke around is that he's going to be able to run the pots all from his phone. You know, he doesn't have to go down to the distillery. And he's serious about that. He's going to be able to, like, you run the air conditioning in your home. He's going to be doing all from his phone. And again, the full production facility in Kinston is going to continue. And we'll basically have a smaller scale distillery. We're looking at locations in Raleigh now, as we speak, and in the Triangle, I'll say,
mm-hmm.
so we can provide that opportunity for other folks to come in and try the product. You know, we get that customer-facing experience.
Right.
We have events there that we'll sponsor. We do events now. We just do them throughout the area. So we've got something we can draw people in on, and we can just sell them as much as we want. It's sort of like a mini liquor store, specializing in one brand, but you know, we're one of the things that, to meet some of the goals we're talking about, we're talking about some flavor extensions and some new brands.
Mm-hmm.
But we're focusing on selling vodka right now.
Okay, talking about events a little bit, you know, as a way to sell vodka, are you going to be doing events down at Kingston too, or is that going to be strictly really industrial production operation, and that's it?
No, it's in Kinston, North Carolina, down east. Kinston, yeah. It's there'll definitely be events. Kinston is going through a revitalization, a rebranding of its own, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, it's lost a lot of the textiles and some of the other industries that made it real strong. Plus, they put an interstate to the beach north of them. So that used to be, you always went through Kinston to get down to North Carolina Beach. So They've suffered a little bit. We got a great opportunity to buy a 20-acre property where we distill. It's got an old coal plant that serviced all of Kinston. I think it was decommissioned in the 70s. I've walked through it. I thought it was decommissioned in the 1870s. This thing is just something. Everything's bigger. Just everything's large. A lot of mm-hmm. iron, a lot of cement. And if it was in anywhere of like Charlotte or Raleigh, it would be a true venue. You could really spice that thing up. So we've got that available. That's very long term.
Mm-hmm.
We have all that acreage, and there's another facility. It's an old cotton mill processing plant, and some of it's still being used for that. And we have an opportunity to buy as well. And we're talking about moving production over there. And one of the ideas is putting a museum. You know, the liquor industry in North Carolina, you know, it all and you could partner with NASCAR because, you know, that's how NASCAR got started. North Carolina, everybody running moonshine. And just how North Carolina was one of the last ones to accept prohibition, you know, come into prohibition, and one of the last ones to come out. I think they saw what what they had, and
mm-hmm.
But they made it up and let all the counties decide whether they wanted to, you know, opt in or opt out. So, gosh, when I moved here in the 70s, you know, the county's still dry. You know, you couldn't drink. They had the blue laws. You couldn't drink on Sundays. And a lot of those things have changed. But a lot of things are changing. And for the positive, again, it's all about doing business in North Carolina. It's just really going to benefit socialized vodka.
Well, that's terrific. And you said you, from what I understand, you said that you own that old coal plant. When you say coal plant, what do you mean by coal plant?
Well, it was the old coal-fired plant. I mean, it's not in production, but it's there's a lot of things we can retrieve, I guess, from that. They've got the old bricks. Those bricks are, you know, worth a lot of money, and we're trying to figure out ways to include that in some sort of branding or other use. It's more sustainability and reusing products, but it's the old coal-fired plant. It's not in use, and we don't use it. I look at it as a separate maintenance facility that's attached to the plant that we use for daily operations, which will ultimately move over into it's about 100,000 square foot former cotton mill plant.
Okay.
We'll be moving production over. It's better suited. It has the, you know, right height for the semis to back up on, and you know, it just adds a lot more from a logistics standpoint.
Right. Right. You don't have to have quite as many forklifts to get your products up onto the semis.
Exactly. You've been there. You've seen it.
Yeah. So that's really a good thing. So that sort of tells us where you want to go in the next 3 to 5 years. Are you publicly held at this point, or are you private?
We're private. We're going through another Series B offering. Mm-hmm. We hope to raise about $4 million. It's a 506C offering. And we've engaged, you know, 506B, you have to be accredited. You know, you have to have certain income and asset requirements in order to invest. With a 506C, you have to have a certification that those numbers are true. That's just a different way. And, you know, and historically, as in my case, there was a lot of friends and family that participated, that invested. In fact, we had a need to ramp up production in order to meet some of our quotas for this year. And with the hiring that we've done, we went back to that pool of friends and family, and they came in again. But this next offering, we've engaged an outfit out of Charleston, Charlestown Holdings, to help us sell that to their broker-dealer network and some of their retail clients. And I'm going to be on a call in a few minutes with them to discuss the progress, and we hope to close on that before Thanksgiving, which will help us meet the marketing plan that we're putting forth, the staff plan. As you mentioned, we need more people, some of the new product categories we're looking at, and then any kind of event space and satellite distillery that we want to put in place. We don't want to limit just to Raleigh. We're looking at some of the major areas in North Carolina.
Right. You mentioned new products, and are you looking beyond vodka, or are you planning to stay with vodka?
We're looking beyond just a question of when. You know, the natural progression, most people tell us, is gin, because gin's just a flavored vodka.
Right.
You know, you put the junipers in there, and then there's always a whiskey opportunity. But that's going to all be part of that marketing plan. We're not going to do anything. We're not going to get too far ahead of ourselves. But I think that's just a natural progression.
Yeah, it is. And you know, guys who try to get too far ahead too fast end up in trouble, too.
Right, right. And I think it's another good point from where I'm studying, having come in like I have after the fact, they did not do that. They were very measured in their approach in the whole the plan, the marketing plan. If you've seen the bottle I think is beautiful, the label with the embossing and the raise, it's just a beautiful thing on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they really got the brand identity down, and you know, with the millennials looking for, you know, a little more style and some substance, you know, there's a shift away from carbs into, you know, things like vodka for the millennials. And they want companies that are socially responsible and socially active. And we check those boxes. And we're not catering to them. We just, that's who we are. And we know that they appreciate that. So I think it's just a great combination to bring to market.
Sure. Are your I know you went to college at North Carolina State. How about your colleagues in the C-suite there? Are you basically a NC State company, or?
Gosh, we got, well, Grady, our master distiller. Well, he's an Ohio State fan. I think he went to school in Ohio. Gosh, we had this conversation. I just don't remember. but no, we're we're pretty diverse.
Okay.
We're all a bunch of North Carolina. I mean, Carrie's he's a Canadian by origin, and G, the other organizer, he's actually from India, grew up in India, came in. Now he's an NC State grad, so that's true.
Right.
And some of the other folks, I think one girl, she's from New York, brings a lot of color to to North Carolina, most
good.
Of them. But yeah, it was pretty diverse.
Reason I asked was that you'd mentioned earlier that the recipes were developed in the food science operation over at NC State. So I was wondering if this was, you know, if NC State was going to get a free donation of 2% of the company or something like that along the lines. But it doesn't sound like the old school ties are going to be that tight. So
No. That was just an advisor at the time who had some connections, and I've met him, and he's just doing it because he wants to make a better product.
Sure. You got any idea of how many positions and what type of positions you're looking to hire in the next 6 to 12 months, or is that too soon to tell?
No, we're looking at it. I'm working on the 2020 plan now. We've got some. There's three areas: sales. You know, we can always use some good quality sales folks in some of these territories. Like in Wake County, we have two reps that work Wake County. We're going to open up the western part of the state. We have people who have covered that, but they're spread a little thin. And there's just some areas that I think we can expand there. On the production side, you know, we're not yet at capacity, but once we are, we'll probably have to have a couple more bodies, or at least one more. And then the events team, those guys are really trying to, you know, put together, they're coming out of the chute with low expectations and low goals. And I don't mean that as a bad thing. They just want to measure this thing out. We've done them in the past and we want to get it right. But the key to that is we get people who, again, that customer facing, they can see the experience. They can, you know, we can tell them our story, and we can see conversions from that. And we have this thing called Social House at Your House, where we will come in, you know, and if you got a party or you just, and I've been to them. I had a good friend of mine had one for his wife, her birthday, and they set up, and we just had a great time. And they basically, you got a bartender that's making all kinds of drinks. Vodka is very versatile, as you know. Mm-hmm. And we just do it for the love of it. And there's a lot of these things of somebody's got them at social events. They bid on them. We donate them for nonprofits so they can raise money. And then we'll come in and do that. So then we get a lot of people who see the brand for the first time and love it. You know, it's I want to say it's an easy conversion, but so get back to your question on the event side and from the finance side, one of the things I've been tasked with is to look for a business analyst. Cause again, we are data driven. We have a lot of data available to us and we just need to, you know, glean as much as we can. And I had lunch with a guy yesterday who'd be a perfect candidate. So I think he's willing to come on as a part-time basis. And, but that's a definite need. So those are some of the areas we don't want to. We've already hired quite a few people in the last 3 or 4 months.
We're going to be more measured. Are you looking? My suspicion or my sense is that you're looking for guys with a fair amount of experience. You're not looking to be in a position where you're training, for instance, an analyst or an events marketer or something like that. You want people who can come in and they know how to do that type of work and step out of the gate almost immediately.
Right, and trainable, you know, especially on the event side, we've got to be able to train them because we want to have a consistency in that experience, so we're going to have to train them, and you know, and also on the sales side, some sales experience. I'd have a hard time going in there and selling something. That's not my my strong suit. So you know, obviously have those talents, but also trainable and work fast paced because I tell you what, it's been a whirlwind. We've made a lot of good, positive improvements, I feel like I have. And we're really trying to get the business to a point where it's scalable and it's a finely tuned machine. We're not completely there yet, obviously, but we've made tremendous improvements and we got the people in place to make it happen.
Well, that sounds absolutely terrific. I'm going to sort of wrap up by asking you a couple of questions. One is, what is the biggest challenge that Social House faces right now?
Right now is cash flow. Mm-hmm. We had hoped to have this round of fundraising completed by now. Mm-hmm. We've had some, because there's been a lot of talk, we've taken them down, brought them down to the distillery, and great conversation, great group of guys, but they're all over the place, and we're busy. So that put us in a little bit of a bind. Good news mm-hmm. is, with some of the latest releases, like my notification or letting people know that I came on board, also Marnie, the VP of sales, coming on board, people are calling up going, can I get in? So we're trying to bring them in, but I've been around for, you know, several months, but we're in a tight spot, but I know we're going to get through it. But I think that's the thing. I came from a software company that was a cash cow, and I'm with one that, you know, it ebbs and flows. We stayed on top of it. And that's mm-hmm. my biggest challenge, but I enjoy it because, you know, I was the head of treasury at my former employer, and it's all about cash. So
sure.
It's all good. But that's, for me, that's the biggest challenge. I know if you interviewed each one of our folks, they'd have a different challenge.
Right. The sales gal probably would talk about opening stuff up in Western North Carolina to a greater extent and so on.
And she's already done that. She's killing
yeah.
it.
Yeah, good. And your biggest opportunity in the next year?
Opening up that smaller retail distillery
mm-hmm.
and making it a basically the prototype for future distilleries and experiences that we can provide to customers.
Sure.
And really...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, and just really show them our brand, what we're all about, and just the experience. You know, there are other companies that do that. I think it really makes a difference.
Sure. So so you led me right into the next and final question. So if someone wanted to come down to North Carolina and see the operation and sample your products and so on, where would they reach out? To whom would they reach out, and what's the email address and phone number and all that sort of good stuff?
Well, I just got my business cards. and I don't have that offhand. Our website is, you know, socialhousevodka.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the number, drum roll please, is 919-980-1033. It's our local line in Raleigh. And then, of course, we've got a distillery down in Kinston. We can arrange either through the website, tours, or, you know, any kind of visit.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you that they are cranking hard down there, so they'd have to almost stop production to show people around, but they're more than welcome. We've got some things, too, that I think they find very interesting in the process. And there's some items to buy along with all the Social House vodka you can carry in your trunk.
Well, that's great. Jeff Eakes, thanks so much for the time. I think it's been a great interview. We look forward to seeing the growth of Social House over the next few years, and to see you completely dominate the state of North Carolina, which would be awesome, and then see if you eventually make your way up to Maryland and all the places in between. But for now, North Carolina is a great place to be, and lots of opportunity, lots of people moving in, which means
yep.
they're going to want to know about all the North Carolina products, including yours. So that's
great.
Really good.
Great place to live. Thank you, Joel. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much, and thank you, everybody, for listening, and have a very great day, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.